Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Remove the portion of the 2,500 feet distance shall not apply along the U.S. 98 corridor. So my motion is to remove that and maintain the 2,500 feet.
So here I go again, delving into yet another sub-level of committee county meetings. In Escambia County, I told you I watched the Tourism Development Commission. Doesn't matter. And yeah, meeting. And now I'm hooked. I've been putting this one off. Like I've been, but the zoning, the planning. I watched the LDC meeting. That's the Land Development Code meeting. And oh yeah, it's 3 hours. It was interesting. It's interesting when you get down to the appointed members meetings instead of the elected members meetings, because they're different. They behave differently. They don't perform for the cameras typically. They're not quite as skilled typically in the procedural stuff. They're not necessarily the most eloquent public speakers, but I kind of like it because they're real people, you know? And so when they talk, there's usually kind of something interesting going on. So this is Chris Grimes again. This is the planning. I'm gonna screw this up if I don't get the exact citation right. But you know, basically, they were the ones looking over the land development code for Santa Rosa County before it goes up to in 2 weeks. You're gonna have, I think the 18th is the do the math right. Yeah, the 18th is the meeting where the commission is gonna get together and actually talk about these things, and they're gonna, you know, take or mend or do whatever they want to do. One of the issues, Chris Grimes is the one you just heard talking. He's a member of the planning board. And so what they were going to do is they were going to look at the recommendations to change, for example, the distance you could be from a church or a school if you wanted to open a bar in South Santa Rosa County, you know, districts 4 and 5, you know, Navarre, Midway, Gulf Breeze, outside of the city of Gulf Breeze. And so he says, I'd like to, because Colton Wright has proposed, it currently it's 2,500 feet radius. So if you basically draw a mile diameter, a circle around any existing school or church, no new bars there. And Colton Wright says that's ridiculous. That's everything in the South End. Like that would basically be a prohibition on new bars or breweries in the South End. And he wants it to be if there's a one parcel buffer between you and the thing. So not right next door to a church or a school, but one parcel in between you and them. So Chris Grimes, who has said, you know, I'm a dad, I don't want to have, you know, bars next to schools. I don't like them next to churches either. He says, let's just delete that recommendation and keep it how it is with, again, the half mile radius, 1 mile diameter. And they did a vote.
All in favor?
Well, did we get everybody who was in favor? Can you keep them up?
It's hand voting, not screen voting.
Opposed? All right, so that recommendation passes.
So that passed, 5-4. And you're thinking, oh, okay, so they went against the will of the commissioner who was proposing the change. And then one of the board members is like, wait, what did we just do?
Can I do a do-over for a second? Can you clarify exactly what we're voting for? Because what I think we're voting for and what Aaron thinks we're voting for are two different things. So can you clarify exactly, Chris, what you're proposing?
That's kind of funny because that's Aaron Crumbly, and she says, I don't think Aaron is voting for what I'm voting for. The guy next to her is Aaron Williams is the guy, so it's just kind of a funny little thing. So Chris Grimes, again, says, well, I just want to keep it how it is. I don't want new bars and breweries near schools and churches.
I mean, I'm open for discussion on this. I will say the 2,500 feet for a school is a hard sell for me as a father. I don't want a bar next to where my kids go to school. Church, yeah, I'm good with if we can agree on recommend 1,000 feet, like Mr. Carson says, I'm good with that as well. I do not like the way it's written currently.
I mean, there's churches that use bars on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, so, and again, just to give you my position on this, I think this concept is silly. I think it usually interferes with development. One of the reasons what was the name of the burger place? It was over on Navy. That was also, they expanded over here on 9th Avenue.
What was that? Burger? I remember the guy.
Best burger place in town.
They
could never get a liquor license on their Navy Boulevard location because they were too close to a school.
Right.
Dumb. I mean, it's just dumb because you're not, you know, it's a restaurant. Now, that's a little different than this ordinance. 51% of your sales has to be from alcohol. So this was ours in Escambia. It was a restaurant. Theirs is a bar. But still, who cares? You know, who cares if you've got a restaurant near a school or honestly a bar? You have drunk people in the daytime during, you know, second hour PE. I mean, it's a weird thing to be worked up about. And they're right. You know, churches often get built near, and now there's a certain grandfather clause if the bar's there first, but it's almost like you could plant churches in order to prevent bars. I don't know. It's just the whole thing is odd to me. Okay. You want to make it 500 feet, you want to make it 250, 1,000. I mean, but a mile diameter is an enormous blockout zone, right? And Ed Carson had said, well, what if we made it 1,000 feet, you know, for churches and 2,500 for schools? Would that make you feel better? So that's what Chris moves.
I motioned to change the 2,500. Or the 2,500 feet distance shall remain in place for schools and reduce that to 1,000 feet for churches.
Okay, so just to put this in perspective, Chris thought he had a win on the first vote, okay, to just keep it like it is. And then a couple of the members are like, wait a minute, what did we do? And he says, well, if you don't like that, let's go 1,000 feet for churches and 2,500 feet for schools.
Motion has been made and all in favor. All opposed? So that motion fails.
2-7, meaning it failed catastrophically. The motion I thought they had a win for, a more mild one, failed even worse, and the other one had passed. So Ed Carson and Chris Grimes are the only ones who voted for it. So Ed says, all right, let's go 1,000 feet for both.
How about some 1,000 feet across the board? Just change the 2,500 to 1,000.
Is that a motion?
It is a motion.
Do we have a second for that?
I'll agree with him. I'll second it.
So the motion has been made and properly seconded.
And that fails. 1-8. So it's getting worse. Like, whatever you're trying to accomplish, it's not getting any closer to any resolution. So, again, Aaron Crumbly, the one who kind of raised the, wait, what'd we do kind of thing?
We're at it. Just leave it as is, whatever is in. Whatever's been proposed, just leave it. It'll go in front of county commissioners.
Now, I don't know if they were just, well, obviously we can't get anything done, so let's just leave it, or if the will of the majority is really to just leave it as is, which would be very different from what they originally voted on. I'm guessing, you know, they've got about a 7-2 to just put forward what Colton Wright had asked for and to remove the barrier and the south end on Highway 98 and make it, you know, one parcel separation, which I think makes sense. That you know. Now, the argument, by the way, from folks on the other side, as you kind of heard Chris put forward, is we don't want to have browsers and breweries near schools and churches. But there's also, you remember, and, you know, for those of you who have lived here a long time, you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But for people who might be new to the area, wasn't that long ago Santa Rosa County was a dry county.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it has not been, even as long as I've lived here, 9 years, that they've been you could even buy alcohol. And the argument has always been, well, if you allow some alcohol, that's going to be the camel's nose under the tent. Eventually, you're going to have 18 camels inside the tent. And that's kind of, you know, Sunday alcohol sales, bars. There's a thriving bar business in Milton that was dry, you know, not that long ago. And then here's the argument, like on the south end, we're going to allow a little bit of alcohol. And now, you know, their perspective is, and all of a sudden we're going to have alcohol basically next to schools as long as there's a, you know, 100 feet or so between them because some parcel is in the way. So I understand that argument. I just don't happen to support the view that what we ought to be doing is keeping, you know, bars out of the area. But okay, I mean, I understand, you know, you've heard this expressed at the county commission meeting of in the sort that, you know, let the filth and debauchery and the strip clubs, no, strip clubs are not on the menu here. But, you know, that's kind of been the argument is, do we want to be Pensacola? And the answer is, oh, hell no, you know. But are we willing to be more a beach kind of area that has more of this kind of business? Well, if you ask the people who show up at the meetings, they want to kind of keep a lid on the alcohol sales. But if you ask the people that are going to the bars, you know, voting with their feet and their credit cards, well, they say yes, right? So, you know, who's got the right of it? Again, I think Colton Wright is kind of, I think he's on target when he's got this in mind. You know, and if, you know, if you really wanted to appease some people, I would say, you know, a parcel separation from a church and 1,000 feet maybe from a school. But I still, I'm just telling you, that's a lot. That's a not quite a quarter mile. That's a, about a fifth of a mile radius around a school. That is still a lot of footprint blocked out. But it went to the board, and we'll see what the county commission does with it. This is just a recommendation by the planning board for the land development code revisions. Now, the big item, there were two big items other than, actually three big items other than this. This was, in a sense, kind of a minor item, the last thing they handled. One was the alternate subdivision plan. The Jubilee, okay, whether to change that. Clear cutting of lots, whether to, you know, be more restrictive on that. And then permitting more billboards or not. That was another one. And we'll talk about this throughout the day because there's a lot of interesting conversations. And under, I know if you live in Escambia County, you're like, there's a lot of focus on Santa Rosa County. Well, I'm focused on both counties. But remember, thinking through the issues of how somebody else handles a problem might give you perspective on how you want to handle in your own home county, right? So value to pay attention to this, even if it's not personally affecting you what's on Highway 98, whether there's a bar there or not. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up. This message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
When you can't stop, there's Vicks VapoRub. Vicks VapoRub sends powerful medicated Vicks vapors right to the source of your... so you can experience cough relief and breathe easier. Generations of families have trusted Vicks VapoRub to help relieve the worst cold symptoms. So next time you have a cough, reach for the Vicks VapoRub. Vicks VapoRub. Cough relieving is believing.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
As head of security, it is my job to keep you alive. I will not succeed.
Yeah, that was one of the cassettes I got from my stepdad and would play on the way to school, you know, and I thought I was all that, you know, with some dude with a bunch of, you know, scratch wounds on his chest on the front of a cover of a little album, the cassette. If you don't know what that is, I'm not going to ask you. Ask your mom. 523 on News Radio, or your dad, you know, that's not particular to the gender. Or your stepdad, that's right. Oh, got a couple of texts in here. Somebody here says, so when was the 18th Amendment repealed again? Yeah, but okay, fair. But keep in mind that just took it off at the national level. You still had, you know, state and local ability, to restrict alcohol. And we still have restrictive alcohol sales of all different kinds, right? The Sunday morning ban in some places, the, you know, who's allowed to say, I mean, alcohol fights are, we've been having them for as long as we've been a country.
It's been stupid, though. I mean, there's so many plates. Well,
whatever. I agree.
Bars like sharing liquor licenses, like Sluggo's had to move around for a long time. Yeah. It just sucks.
Or, you know, some of that stuff that had to do with, you know, remember, if you were during COVID, like if you were a bar, no, but if you were a restaurant, yes. So, hey, let's make some hot dogs and heat up some nacho cheese. And so we can, you know, just like that kind of stuff. It's nuts.
It's stupid.
Somebody else says, let's see, it's kind of embarrassing. These people in charge don't even know what they're doing, like on that vote, how they got confused.
Yep.
Okay. A, yes, but B, it was confusing. I mean, I will grant them that it was confusing. And, you know, I will say this. If you're ever in a position to vote on a board on an item and you're not sure what you're voting on, you stop and ask, okay? But at the same time, it was confusing because what they were doing was not repealing or changing a proposal for a change that had been recommended by a commissioner. You know, like it's a little procedurally kind of complicated. But no, you're right. You still want to, you know, ask for the clarification, right? Oh, and somebody says Burger Factory and Scott Green, who is great. Yeah.
That's right.
Burger Factory. Oh, my God.
That
Burger
place
Factory
was amazing.
Sweet potato tots. Oh.
Blue cheese on a burger.
That was legit. Like, that was my wife's only thing that she ever eats when we go out to eat is a burger.
Yes.
That was our favorite place.
Burger
and then
Factory.
It went away. And we're like, no.
I'm like, sorry for your loss.
Look, there's a lot
of Cervantes, and I love that place.
And there's a lot of good burger places. There are a lot of good ones. I'm just telling you, that was our like A plus. Like, we finally found the one that we're like, we'll go there every time. And apparently, we didn't do it often enough. So, 5:25 on News Radio 92.3. We got Steve Taylor in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve.
Hello, good morning
to
you. Yes, well, looks like progress is continuing to be made in restoring power after Hurricane Idalia. Governor Ron DeSantis announced yesterday 96% of those who lost power in the storm have had their power restored. PowerOutage.us reports the state still has over 20,000 outages, which are basically all in the Big Bend where the hurricane came ashore. Suwannee County has the most outages with over 6,000. Congress is set to return to Washington, D.C. today after the summer recess, and there's a number of issues on the agenda, including a potential government shutdown looming in the coming weeks. Senate Minority Leader, say that three times this early in the morning, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell could address his health situation this week. He had another one of those freezing moments. Last week, the 81-year-old suddenly stopped speaking at a press event in Kentucky, and an aide had to step in.
Now, you said he's the leader of the minority?
Yeah.
Senate, well, he's an old white guy, though, right?
Yeah.
Come on, Andrew, stop.
He's an old straight white guy. I mean, you know, come on.
A very old one, yes.
Go on.
Well, Sunday saw a parade of corgis outside of Buckingham Palace, which was a tribute to the Queen.
That's the stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, the second year after her death. About 20 people dressed up their dogs in royal outfits in honor of the Queen's favorite four-legged companion. You know, see, Queen Elizabeth owned corgis since childhood, which is a breed she loved throughout her life. But there's no word on if the corgis in the royal outfits did the queenly wave. Hello!
Wow, that is a spot-on impression. Well done.
Thank you.
For a breed that doesn't have spots. All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. 5:27 here on News Radio 92.3. Speaking of scary animal breeds, you see Five Nights at Freddy's is coming out?
I don't know what that is. I thought it was like a Nightmare on Elm Street thing, and it's not, I don't think.
No.
It's a cartoon, right?
No, it's a video game.
Oh!
This was Universal Studios,
that's the theme this year.
Yeah, it was a very... Okay, all right.
I didn't know.
It's a very popular video game from about, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago? Six years, something like that. I remember, you know, at the time, I think we thought that it was not good for the kids because of their age at the time. The premise of it is that you're in a, like... not Chuck E. Cheese's, but what's one where they had the big band, kind of the animatronic band?
That was Showbiz Pizza Place.
Showbiz Pizza, that's right. It's like if you took a Showbiz Pizza Place and then you made it where the animatronics come alive at night and kill people who are there.
Oh, God.
That's kind of the premise, you know?
Okay, that's
so
cool.
So you're there.
For a video game.
And so the video game, the premise of the video game is that you're the night watchman. And there's been this horrible event. Maybe you don't know about it. I forget. But your job is to watch the cameras. And
try to stop the murders?
No. But if you see them, they have to stop. They can only move when you're not looking at them.
Or
I think the flashlight, if I remember correctly, like if you have the flashlight on them, same kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, he's kind of he doesn't know what's going on. He's got to find out what's going on. And then he's, you know, he looks on the camera and they're there. They're not there. He's got to find them to stop. That kind of a thing. So what I find fascinating about this is it's another one of these movies where, like, you're a little late to this party because I don't really think people play the game anymore. There were several versions of it that came out and that kind of thing. But
yeah,
they're kind of into the making things too late for the cool curve. You know, not really capitalizing
sure.
on what's popular.
Room,
right. So we'll see. But talking about the corgis reminded me of that. Five. I'm just saying it, dude.
Well, it's weird. Like Universal Studios, they do Halloween Horror Nights every year. And
okay.
They base it on a movie or whatever. And like Halloween, I get. Exorcist, I get. Five Nights at Freddy's.
The what is it now?
So something's coming out. Something,
yeah.
I guess.
And that's
yeah,
it. The movie,
and that's
the
it.
Movie
okay.
will be coming.
Well, thank you.
4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Speaking of things people are afraid of, Gen Z is afraid of phones. Not using the phone, but talking on the phone. They have phone phobia.
Yeah, same.
They don't like having phone calls. This is why they text
yep.
or message or anything other than the dreaded phone call. And one of the things that was fascinating is talking about, like, historically, we've kind of taught people how to use the phone. You know, we've taught them phone etiquette. You know, you used to teach kids, here's what you say when you answer the phone. And you know, people could have jobs. But now we just don't really teach that anymore. Because the phone is no longer the thing that's in the kitchen that everybody shares. The phone is just
yeah.
everybody's got their own. And somehow or other in this whole process, you've got a lot of young people who never really learned how to talk on the phone. So when it comes to businesses, they don't know how to do it. They don't like it. They're not comfortable. They're scared of it. Now, I know some people just don't like talking. My wife doesn't like talking on the phone.
I hear her.
And, you know, if ever there's a... She'll deal with stuff on an email.
Uh-huh.
And then if there's a call to be made... Will you please call them? I sure will. I'll talk sternly to them, dear.
Fox News, MC Jay Papa. Potential strike by the United Auto Workers Union later this month could hammer the economy.
The country's largest auto workers union pumping the brakes on its endorsement of President Biden. United Auto Workers are speeding toward a historic strike that would cost the U.S. economy more than $5 billion in just 10 days. But President Biden is brushing off that threat.
Fox's Brooke Singman, the union's current four-year contract expires September 14th. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un will reportedly meet with the Russian President Vladimir Putin about weapons that could be used in Russia's war. Florida Congressman Michael Walsh.
They can provide thousands and thousands and thousands of rounds that will allow Russia to stretch the war out in Ukraine.
The Republican last hour on Fox and Friends first and checking the Caribbean. Ian expected to become a tropical storm at some point today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 531, 80 degrees, mostly clear in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. A massive multi-use development is coming to Escambia County on the corner of Interstate 10's Pine Forest Road at the exit there. That's according to the PNJ. Master site plans for the development say it'll include multifamily housing, an office and retail spaces, a medical facility, and a hotel hospitality development. The Waters at Ransley, is what it's going to be called, is located off of Ransley Station Road. Will feature about 300 multifamily units across 15 buildings in the neighborhood. Ransley Station will have 16 different buildings for retail stores, a restaurant, ranging from 3,000 square feet to about 15,000 square feet. There'll also be four buildings in close proximity to each other, set aside for use as office spaces. And also, they have a planned medical facility. It's expected to be a part of that development, and it's the closest part of the development to I-10. That'll be about 12,000 square feet. Several churches in the Panhandle are leading the effort to gather supplies toward Hurricane Idalia relief.
A supply drive is being held starting today through Friday. It'll be from 9 to 4 each day. Local churches that are participating include Crossview Methodist Church in Pensacola and Woodbine Church in Pace. Donations can include supplies such as diapers and Clorox wipes, water, non-perishables, and monetary donations too.
That's News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. Police in Mobile say a man died in an apparent domestic-related shooting yesterday afternoon. It happened about 1 p.m. at Sandpiper Apartments on Government Boulevard there. Investigators say they found a man dead and a woman with several gunshot wounds. At this point, no identities have been released. Two unrelated fires heavily damaged homes in the cantonment area on Labor Day. A fully involved mobile home located off of Coweta Road was reported about 9 a.m. A fire at that particular location and a second fire was reported in a wood frame home in the 300 block of Homeland Avenue about 9:35 a.m. There was no immediate word of any injuries or the cause of either fire. Well, let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We will have scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. Temperatures in the 90s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 70s. As you go into Wednesday, we will have a chance at a few stray showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with temperatures in the low 90s. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping into the 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, it's mostly dark and 78 in Pensacola, 80 degrees in Gulf Breeze, and 72 in Milton at 5:35. Next news is 6, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Guy Benson talks to the big newsmakers every day from 2 to 4 before Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on a farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor.
Tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Once a month, we like to connect with our good friend and farmer, my farmer friend, you know? Ryan Jenkins up in Jay, Florida, who owns Jenkins Farms. Yesterday, we had a good conversation with him. It's always the first Monday of the calendar month, by the way, if you want to plan that out for your future. But Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing well. You sound a little nasally. Are you feeling okay?
Oh, I'm going to live, probably. It's probably all the dust.
I'm probably going to live. All the dust. Oh, speaking of that, Channel 3 had done a story maybe a week or two ago about how the heat was really bad for the local farming situation, the kind of the drought conditions. And, you know, I know on the one hand, like cotton needs all of the heat. We've talked about the heat units many times, but I'm worried about like your peanuts and your corn and stuff like that. So how is the heat affecting y'all?
Well, it's affecting me pretty bad, and it's affecting my crops for sure. But no, you know, last time we talked about the heat, and you know, we talked, like you said, the heat units and such. But since we've talked last time, even though you know you might have gotten a little thunderstorm sometime along at your house in the last month or so, in our area, there's been very, very little rain. And unfortunately, I've got to report that, you know, it looks like our crops have taken a substantial hit this year. Our yields are going to be down drastically. All the heat and the dry weather, what happens, you know, this plant's made to stay alive and produce fruit, whether it's cotton or peanuts or whatever. And so as the plant begins stressing, if it gets to a certain point, it's going to try to protect whatever fruit is on there and quit putting on more.
Okay.
So that's what's happened, you know. Basically, the peanuts and cotton both, you know, there was a lot of rain earlier in the season. So to begin with, it looked like we were going to have a really, really good crop. And then as the rain quit and the high temperatures and such hit it as well, it started throwing off fruit that wasn't mature that was on there. So, you know, usually there's constantly fruit being put on these plants until harvest season. A lot of the immature fruit has now been thrown off. So there's basically just one small crop that's left on these plants. And you know, a lot of these plants, you could ride down the road and see a field that just looks dead, just like your grass in the yard does if you don't have irrigation on it. And when that happens, you know, if it's like that for more than just a few days, and it's been like that for a few weeks now, you're really taking a hit. So I estimate that our yields may be down, be as much as cut in half this year.
Ugh.
And we've talked before with the high input prices that we have now. You know, you basically have to hit a home run every year just to break even. So, unfortunately, I think we're going to take a pretty big hit this year.
Now, I just to make sure I'm hearing you properly, are you telling me, I mean, I understand that about the peanuts and corn, but you're telling me that even the cotton is in that same situation where it's going to be significantly under just because of the heat and drought conditions?
Yes, it's significant. This is one of those years that I anticipate this is going to be one of those that you'll be telling your grandkids about. Remember back in 23 when it didn't rain all summer? That's going to be one of those deals, you know, that's going to take people. You know, an event like this can take you 10 years or longer to pay out of.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, yeah, I know you and I have talked. Yeah, my goodness. Well, I mean, many times you and I have talked about how, for example, this is a very wet area. It's one of the wettest areas in the country. And as a result, you don't have an irrigation system. You don't have, you know, you go in the Midwest and you see all of the, you know, the giant water spreaders that, you know, travel around and create irrigation for the crops and even, you know, ground-based irrigation. Like, you just don't have any of that because it's never like this, right?
Correct. It's, you know, 1 out of 10 years or so you'll have a pretty dry year. And don't get me wrong, there's some little scattered pockets here or there that have gotten rain that'll be maybe an average year, if that. But for the most part, you know, I would say probably at least 2/3 to 3/4 of our county here is in what I would say an extreme drought. I know the other people that really do that for a living, they would say something different, but the way it's affected our crops, I would say about 3/4 probably of our county is going to be in a really, really severe situation this year with their harvest, with their yields.
So what does that do to, I mean, you said it'd be 10 years climbing out of this hole financially. What does that do to the always problem of, you know, people who don't want to do this or kids who are not growing up to do this, you know, that the, you know, you got to replace your crops every year, but you got to replace your farmers every generation. And, you know, what does this kind of an incident do for that?
Well, I don't know that. It will call out some people, for lack of a better term. You know, some people might not be able to survive this, you know, because we've had some, I think back to 20 is when Sally came, and that really hurt us. Between Sally and then the wet weather that just stayed with us after Sally, you know, for about a month, it basically ruined our crops, what we had made that year. And we haven't had any we haven't had a really good year in quite a while. So everybody's pretty much burned through all their spending money or money that they've put up from good crops and years before. But getting back to your question, we all, every farmer that's out there knows this is part of it. It could be a hurricane. It could be a drought. It could be the commodity prices. It can be so many different things that are out of your control. And like we've talked about before, we're now at the time where we've got the maximum input in this crop. If this drought had started at the beginning of the season, we wouldn't have put so much money into this crop. But, you know, early on, this crop looked really good. So if it needed something, you gave it to it.
Yeah.
Whatever it cost, you know. And so now we're at our maximum input and basically finding out it's, you know, even if it did start raining now, it would basically be too late to turn things. It could help things a little bit, but it'd be too late to turn things around.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is if rain at this point would be helpful, and it sounds like it's kind of too far gone. It would save it a little bit, but not substantially. You know, it's funny. It's Labor Day. You all get to take holidays off, though, right, when you're farming? You don't have to do anything on the holidays?
Yeah, every day is a holiday here.
See, I told you.
We barely work at all.
Well, right. You program the spreader and you put in you put in the codes and you just let it do its thing and then you pick it up 4 months later for harvest season. That's, you know, it's easy being a farmer.
Exactly.
hey, I you know, not to dwell on this negative, but man, this is like, for most of us, you know, we don't think about this too often, but then, you know, for about 8 minutes here on a Monday, you know, the world is collapsing for our local farmers. And I mean, you know, we don't talk too much about it, but farming is stressful. It's difficult. There's mental health issues connected with this. You know, even, you know, there can be depression connected with this. And, you know, you're always faced with things that are outside of your control. You're always faced with, my God, there's nothing I can do about this. And even what I can do isn't going to matter all that much. How do people handle like a year like this?
It's tough, and it's interesting that you bring that up, but it's tough. You know, mental health, farming's kind of a tough deal, right? I mean, you deal with a bunch of good old country boys, country boy can survive mentality. And for the most part, that's true. But when things are so out of your control, it is extremely, extremely stressful. You know, like we've talked about the weather, we can do every single thing to the best of our ability possible, and then the weather turn out too wet or too dry or too hot or too cold or a hurricane or whatever, and it's completely out of your control, and it's very stressful. And we've talked about the extreme amounts of money that it takes to produce a crop every year. There's no room for error, and that, I wouldn't call that an error, but it is in this instance. There's no room for any hiccups. And the next thing you know, you don't have money. You're going to lose your farm. You don't have money to pay any of your bills. And I'm not talking about your small everyday bills. I'm talking about repaying millions of dollars every year that you put into this crop to try to get it to grow. So it's very stressful. And then actually in the last probably 3 to 4 years in the agricultural circle, mental health has been talked about a lot. For everyone's reference, the suicide rate among farmers is about 3.5 times higher than it is for your general population. Just that in itself shows you how stressful farming is, and that most farmers, they feel like they should be able to handle that. They feel like, hey, I got myself into this. I'm going to get myself out of it. Things snowball. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to get help. And the next thing you know, there's been a suicide. So that's something that's really being talked about more now, and trying to get people to open up about it and give them avenues to get help and things like that. But I do think that in this instance, this year in our area, that's something that's you're going to be needing to check on your neighbors a bunch. It's going to be one of those kind of years.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, you go to church with folks, you see folks at the store maybe, but, you know, ask and listen and offer to help and just be there and be a neighbor, I guess, this year, right?
Yeah. Or just realize, man, And that goes with anybody. You never know what somebody else is dealing with behind closed doors. Just,
yeah, that's true.
Just be good to them. Just check on them and be genuine about it. How are things going? What can I do to help? You know, those type of things. So yes, it's a very big deal, and I feel like we're going to, you know, there's going to be some mental health problems this year. Just strictly from the financial impacts that people are going to feel in our area.
And I know, look, I know you're a man of faith, and, you know, I don't even have to ask. I know that's a big part of how you deal with it, but and I know a lot of farmers are too, but I can barely imagine trying to struggle through it with that. I can't imagine the people that are trying to struggle through it without that to lean on, and man.
Isn't that the truth? If I didn't have God, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I'd be the biggest loser there is, so... He's powerful, and he takes care of us, and we've been in so many situations like this over the years where you just almost feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel or no way out. He always provides a way. So for that, we can't be more blessed than what we are.
Well, I appreciate that, Ryan, and we will be praying for you. You know, I don't know what the solution looks like or what intervention could take place, but man, it's a very sobering report today, and I hate to have to be the sort of the bearer of all of that news for folks, but I hate to have it happening to you and to your fellow farmers as well, because that's it's just awful to imagine. We always kind of end with a farm fact. Do you have one for us this week, Ryan?
Yeah, we didn't get into the corn too much. I was going to talk a little bit about it, but
is your corn coming in? Are you harvesting? Where are you at? Yeah.
We're about 2/3 of the way done with harvest. One quick thing, we did our variety trials the other day, and it's just so interesting that the only difference in the field, we had 12 different varieties, and the only difference was the type of seed or the hybrid that we used in each of those varieties. There was a 64 bushel difference in just which variety you picked.
Huh.
So the research we do helps us all in our local area to hone in on what we need to make the best crop possible. So we're all making a difference slowly but surely.
Yeah, and you know, it's something you and I have never talked much about, but you know, if you look back at the number of people who were farming at the turn of the 1900s and the number of people in the country, and then you think about how many more people we have in the country today and how many fewer farmers we have because of things like, you know, agricultural science, crop yields, and, you know, more efficient ways of farming. And I mean, technology across the board has, you know, made it dramatically different. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Please keep him in your prayers. Keep all of your fellow farmers in your prayers. And if you know one, talk to him, check in on him, just tell him you love him and you're thinking about him. Ryan, thanks for what you do. Thanks for clothing and feeding my kids and for helping us understand what life on the farm is like, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having us, and I hope everybody has a great week.
Absolutely. 551 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, I always talk about Christina Leavenworth and all the homes that she helps people sell and buy. And, you know, I always say this phrase. I say Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrenke Realty. And I know we talk a lot about Christina. I don't talk as much about her team, but she has a fantastic group of people around her that she has surrounded herself with who she can mentor and, you know, who will work with her same work ethic, her same attitude towards you. Here was one of the reviews written on the Leavenrenke Realty website by Kelly. Dylan Smith with the Leavenworth team is by far the greatest realtor I've ever had. He not only helped me get my home, but helped me understand the whole process of becoming a homeowner along the way. Every time I called him, he was available to me, and if he was busy, he would let me know immediately that he would get back to me as soon as possible, and he did just that. I really don't know when this man even gets to sleep, since he seems to be so dedicated to his work. Dylan treated me like I was his only family while helping me find my forever home, and I truly couldn't be more grateful. If you want a realtor with excellent care and communication skills, Dylan is your guy. Again, Kelly. And I mention that because, you know, selling 230 homes, it does take some help, okay? But the point is that she has deliberately surrounded herself with other people who have their same mindset, who she can train to do things her way, and are every bit as productive as she is in getting things done. So if you'd like some help, some guidance, you want to sell or buy a home, or just want somebody who can chat with you and answer questions, she will, they will, and they're fabulous. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrenke Realty.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Fans on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's John Hart and the Prince Brothers. Ooh, baby. A guitar-driven, lo-fi jazz and R&B band from Pensacola. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Steve Taylor is sitting in for David Wayne this week in our newsroom. Steve?
Well, some sad news. A pregnant woman, her unborn child, and her husband are all dead following a shooting yesterday afternoon in Ohio. According to reports, the woman's brother opened fire on the victims at a park when they were out celebrating the Labor Day holiday. He is now in custody. A heat wave is expected to bring 100-degree temperatures to tens of millions this week. The eastern and central U.S. were sizzling over the holiday weekend, some cities seeing record highs. It's likely to be between the lower and high 90s today in places like Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., New York, and Chicago. For us, it's a relatively cool high of 88 today. About 30,000 people were believed to be still at the Burning Man Festival in the Nevada desert. Traffic finally started to pour out of the counterculture event yesterday after the heavy rains flooded the area, turning it into a mud pit, leaving tens of thousands trapped over the holiday weekend. I guess it's a pretty sticky situation for those who are still there.
Yeah, I bet it stinks. Did you see the aerials? Because it's it's this weird looking. I can't say grid because it's radial. It's circular. But you have most of the city is still intact, and then there's like six lanes of RVs fleeing, and it's just they're stuck in traffic for like eight hours trying to get out. And I don't know. It's one of those things where you're going to be here. You came to be here. I don't know, extend the party for a day and let everybody else deal with the waiting.
What happened at Woodstock.
That's exactly right.
Peace and love,
right.
Man.
The first one, not the one with the fires and rays.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah. We're talking 1969 here. Woodstock.
Five 556 here on News Radio 92.3. Steve, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? This is just kind of a, but interesting. You have Mexican groups, mostly Christian groups in Mexico, that are doing book burnings. Book burnings of the textbooks that their Mexican government has approved for use in their schools that promote LGBT, Marxism, leftist propaganda of all sorts, and they said, no, enough of this. In case you think it's just a couple of people, no, tens of thousands of parents have gotten together in, the town square to basically take the big boxes worth of textbooks that they think are advocating for, filth, debauchery, and generally things they don't want their kids to learn, and they're burning them in the streets, and, cheering it on and kind of, happy about this. Here's a little bit of ambient audio from it. Hold on, I gotta turn my computer on. There we go.
Si
This is them dumping the books. And this is them lighting them on fire. And celebrating. Now, it's kind of interesting about this. It made me think of, you know, if you talk about book burning, you typically think of what? You know, what's like the classic historical example of book burning? You think of the Nazis in Germany, right? That's everybody thinks of as book burning. That's not the only time, by the way, that people have burned books. But in this case, it was 12,000 people in Aguascalientes is the name of the place, one of the 32 states that comprise the federal entities of Mexico. And
hot water is the name of the town?
I guess so, yeah. Okay. Aguascalientes, that's right. Because of sexualized and gender ideology content inserted without parental consultation. And I was kind of curious because it just had been a while since I really studied much about that particular episode of Nazi history. And I looked it up, and it's kind of interesting because, first of all, they were burning books that they had seized or banned. This was books that kind of like belonged to them that they were rejecting. But also, you know, there's some similarities. You know, they wanted to burn Marxism. Of course, they were also burning Jewish books. In this case, burning books that were hostile to their values. I don't know. If you're destroying materials, it's a pretty vivid way to do it. But if you're destroying things that you think are teaching your kids to do evil or like evil, there is some precedent for that, too.
92.3, 95.